This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. How do we live a life that truly makes a difference for God's kingdom, displaying a living faith to a dying world? The book of James is a letter from Jesus' brother to a scattered church, written to help them build that kind of faith. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon titled, Be the Real Deal. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bible to the book of James, chapter 1. And we are going this morning to continue our study through this amazing book. And we are going to be listening to our guide, James, as he takes us on this journey. Start to turn a corner. You remember what James is up to. James is encouraging his readers. Now remember, he's a pastor. So Pastor James is writing to the first church, the first official believers in the first church that ever existed in the history of New Testament Christianity. And many of these people had been scattered to all kinds of places and all kinds of contexts. And their pastor, James, is writing them. And he is saying to them, wherever you are, you need to be living out your faith in a way that is dynamic and impactful. And in order for you to do that, you have to have a certain kind of faith. The kind of faith that is going to make a difference in the hearts of men, and that is going to be acceptable to God, is a faith that is wholehearted. It is single-focused, and it is fully trusting in God and in His Word. And we've been saying that together almost every Sunday, and I want to do it again today because I want Pastor James to drive that truth home into our hearts. The kind of faith that God is wanting to develop in you and to develop in me is a living faith that we can display to the dying world around us. And that faith is wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting. So let's say that together, right? A living faith is wholehearted, single-focused, and fully trusting. Let's do it again. A living faith is wholehearted, single-focused, and fully trusting. And just so we don't forget, let's do it one more time. Our living faith must be wholehearted, single-focused, and fully trusting in God and in His Word. So for the first half of James, beginning in verse 2 and going all the way down to verse 18, James has been telling us how God develops that kind of wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting living faith in us. And he uses two things. He uses trials and he uses his word. And then we found out that there is an enemy who is coming to do everything he can to distract us and to divert us from a wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith. And he's going to take the pressure and the pain that goes along with that trial, and he is going to turn all of that to a different end. He's going to turn that trial that God intends to build that wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith. Satan is going to take that pressure, that trial, and he's going to turn it into a what? You remember what the word we use? He's going to turn it into a temptation. And so how in the world are we going to survive the temptations that come upon us? And James says, God, the Father of lights, has sent down a good and perfect gift from above. And that good and perfect gift is the word of truth that birthed you into the new life that you enjoy as a Christian. You were born again by the will of God through the word of truth, and you function now as first fruits. And we noted that the idea of first fruits was that James is talking about the fact that there is a creation that God created originally that wandered. And so what did God, the Father of lights, do with his wandering creation? He intends to restore it. He intends to do with all of creation what he tells the spiritual readers of James to do in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, with the brother who is wandering. When the brother wanders, James says, go find him and restore him. And God is saying, when creation wandered, I am going to restore creation. And the proof of that is that I have used the word of truth to rebirth a new creation. And that's you. And that's me. And we are the first fruits of the amazing shalom that God is going to restore to the universe. And so this is an amazing thing. So that's what God is up to. God is developing in you, and he's developing in me this wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith that is the evidence, the beautiful evidence of the power of the gospel to rescue people and release people from sin. Now, what are we supposed to do with that faith? That's where James goes next. So beginning in verse 19 and going all the way down to verse 27, James is going to turn the corner. It's like we're going on the trail, and now James turns a little corner on the trail, and he says, before we get to the next section, I want to tell you exactly what God wants you to do with the faith that he's been developing. He wants you to display it. You are to display your living faith in ways that are acceptable to God and credible to men. Now, James has a unique way of talking about this. He's going to use a word that we don't usually use when we talk about authentic faith. He's going to use the word religion. You can actually see that word in verse 26. If anyone thinks he is what? Religious. And then you can see it down at the end of that verse again. This person's religion is worthless. And then in verse 27, he's going to say religion that is pure and undefiled before God. So James is introducing a word to us that we typically don't use because in our world and in our day and in our age, that word has sort of like empty connotations. But the word James uses here is a very important word for him, and it's the word for practicing your faith. For the outward practice of your faith. So what James is saying is this: your wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith is not a private matter. God did not intend for that to be between you and him alone. The reason that God is developing that in us is because he intends for us to practice that wholehearted, single-focused, fully trusting faith before him and before others, because God has a purpose. God is up to something. So that brings us to the question this morning, and the question is this: how does God help us to display our faith? What kind of help does James give us that God has given to him about this? And so there are four things that I want to do this morning, and then I want to end with a very, very specific application. That's where we're going. All right, so here's the first thing we want to do. We want to know, and we want to see that James is saying something important to us this morning, and the way that he's going to do this, the way he's going to talk to us about true religion, and that's what we're sort of after today, true religion, James says, is depicted, it's pictured in a proverb. And James is going to introduce a proverb that will help us capture what he has in mind. Okay, now proverb is a simple, memorable statement that paints a picture of truth for us that is portable. In other words, when we get the proverb, we get the truth, and we can carry it wherever we go, because if we can remember the proverb, we can get back to the truth. So the first thing that James does is he is going to depict true religion by a proverb. So let's listen in to James in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone, and here's the proverb, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So there's our proverb. It starts with this observation that James makes. He says, know this. And he's calling attention to something that he's about to say. In other words, there's urgency to this. It's like James saying to us this morning, now I really want you to listen up, There's something you need to capture. There's something you need to know. And it has to do with this word of truth that I introduced to you in the last section. I talked to you about wisdom from above that will guide you through and sustain you through a trial. And then I talked to you about the word of truth that delivered you from temptations. Now, there's something I want you to know. So this statement sort of looks back. It's like a hinge. It looks back, and then it points us ahead. It launches us forward. And James says, there's something you need to know. And the thing you need to know, I'm going to tell it to you in a proverb. There's an instruction that I'm going to give you. And here's the proverb. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. And be slow to anger. Remember I said that James is sort of, when he says know this, he's hinging back. What is it that you are to know? And what is it that you are to hear? There's something that James has been talking about that he wants you to be quick to hear. The idea here is eager pursuit. There is this eagerness to hear this. And so what is it that James wants you to be eager to hear? And it's real clear when you go back to what James has been saying. Up in verse 5, there is a wisdom that comes down from God that he gives when you ask him for it. And later we find out where that wisdom is located. That wisdom is located, if you look down to verse 18, that wisdom is located in the word of truth, and the proof of the power of that wisdom is that it brought you out of darkness into life. Now James says, here's the proverb, be quick to hear. What are you supposed to be quick to hear? That wisdom that is in that word. And the proof that you are quick to hear, and by the way, the word hear in this context is an interesting word. It's not private listening. I mean, if you go back to the time in which James was writing, most people did not have any access to a personal copy of God's word. So this is not James saying, make sure that you go and have a private time in the word, although you should have those things. This is James talking about what would happen in the corporate worship of the church. Remember, James is writing to the church, and he is saying, you need to come eagerly to sit under the public proclamation, the public exhortation, and the public instruction that comes from God's word. Be eager to hear what God's pastors are going to say to you. And he's the pastor over these people. So you can kind of see where James is going. Be quick to hear. And the proof that you are eagerly receiving the word of God is going to show up in the rest of the proverb. If you are eagerly receiving the word of God in your life, two things are going to be true. You're going to be slow to use your mouth, and you're going to be slow to use your temper. You're going to be slow to use your mouth, and you're going to be slow to use your temper. And the idea here is that there is a specific way that the people James is writing to have been using their mouth. And it is really clear as you get into chapter 3 and into chapter 4 that their mouth has been rolling because it has been fueled by the anger that is coming out of their heart. And so James says, as you listen to this proverb, be swift to hear. The thing that you are supposed to be eager to hear is the word of God. And how you hear that word of God is going to be evidenced by how you control your mouth and how you control your temper. And the reason that James is so urgent about this is this: the righteousness of God is at stake. There's something that is coming out of you, and it is not accomplishing the righteousness of God. The word righteousness of God that you see here in this text is referring to two things. There are two concepts that James has in mind. There is righteous conduct that God expects of his first fruits. You are the first fruits of the shalom that God is bringing. And so what should be showing up in your life is a conduct that is marked by righteousness that pleases God. And then secondly, God has righteous purposes that he is accomplishing in his world. There are righteousness, there is a righteousness that God expects us to live out, and then there is a righteous purpose that he is accomplishing in his world, and he is saying to you and to me, your anger does not produce either of those. The wrath of man, the anger, the stored up, pent up anger that boils out of our mouth and explodes out of our hands when we finally can't take it anymore, does not accomplish either of the purposes that God has to build in you and display through you a righteous conduct that pleases him and to accomplish his own righteous purposes in life. Now think about the implications of this for James's readers. I mean, they were suffering under fierce and prolonged and unjust persecution. Many of them had suffered unbearable loss, massive economic reversal. Some of them were being brutally reviled, unjustly treated, unfairly maligned, ruthlessly persecuted by their neighbors and their coworkers for their faith. And as this went on and on and on and on over time, the temptation to take matters into their own hands and to use their mouth to curse and malign those that were abusing them and to fight and resist their oppressors was very great, extraordinarily great. And it wasn't just in that day. It's true in ours. We grow angry just listening to the news. You think about the unfair things that are being said, the unfair things that are being done, the unjust laws that are happening, the unjust statements and actions that go on day after day after day after day. And you know what starts to happen? There's this spirit that just builds up in us. And I mean, it just starts roiling and broiling in us. And pretty soon it spills out of our mouth. And sometimes it even spills out of our actions. And the problem with this in the early church was that it didn't just target itself externally. By the time you get to chapter 3 and chapter 4, these believers had actually targeted their anger in words and deeds toward other Christians in their churches. And so this was a real problem. And James says, now none of that, none of what is coming out of you is actually going to affect or bring about the righteousness of God. So here's a valid question. Because we can couch all of this in like righteous indignation. Well, I'm just righteously indignant, and then all of a sudden we're saying things and doing things. And James comes along as our pastor, and he says to us, that does not accomplish the righteousness that God is trying to do in his world, and it doesn't accomplish the righteousness that you should be displaying to the world. That does not accomplish God's purposes and God's righteousness. And so a fair question is, well, James, what does? If my angry words and angry deeds that are coming at all of this injustice that is in my life and around me, if that's not the right way to do it, then what will accomplish the righteousness of God? And James takes you all the way to the end of the book and he says this, the effectual, fervent, what? Prayers of what? A righteous man. A man who is controlling his mouth and a man who is controlling his heart can come to God and pray, and his fervent prayer will accomplish what his wrath cannot. This is a stunning proverb. And that brings us to this. So what will true religion demand of us? What upon what does it depend? So if I need to be swift to hear and be slow to speak and be slow to anger to display true religion, then how do I do this? And the answer is this. It depends on grace-enabled humility. There is grace-enabled humility, and that's the second thing that James talks about. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. And so James brings another command here, and the command is urgent. Receive the word. And the word receive there is the idea of welcome. Welcome what God has to say through the instruction of his word. Now remember, James is talking to a group of people who are just like us. They're going to come together regularly to hear the preaching and the instruction and the application of God's word into their life. And James says to them, I have an urgent thing for you. And the urgent thing for you is receive and welcome that teaching into your life. And for that to happen, and I was talking about the idea here that you know, this is not jaded predisposition. Well, you're going to have to prove it to me three times before I'll even listen. And this is not neutral, right? This is not us coming and going, well, whatever. What James has in mind here is an eager welcoming. So as you come to hear the word of God preached and taught, we, the pastors and spiritual leaders of this church, are very, very careful who we put before you. Because we realize what James is saying. You are called by God to come with an eager willingness to receive. Now, that doesn't mean you check your brain at the door. Because you do want to go and study the scriptures to make sure these things are so. But there ought to be a predisposed eagerness to hear the instruction that God has prepared for you that week. That's why for us, it is so important that we guard this pulpit and that people who stand here are people that we have confidence are going to interpret this word accurately and correctly and don't have an agenda to do it. And so here's the command, receive the word, and then he tells you how to do that with meekness, with humility. And that humility is going to be accompanied by putting off certain actions and attitudes. And he describes it this way, all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And the idea is that when the word of God, that the word of truth in verse 18 of chapter 1, birthed you, it cleansed you, and it gave you a new man and a new heart. And it dealt with all of your sins. But you and I live in a world that is full of rampant wickedness. And we have a sin nature. And James is actually saying, as you come to hear the word of God, here's the mindset. You are coming with a predisposition to take off any sinful thing or anything that is defiling you that the word of God is revealing to you. So there is the idea of putting off certain actions and attitudes, and then there is the requirement of displaying a particular attitude and life orientation, and the idea there is humility, with humility. So what do you mean, Pastor James, when you talk about the word humility? He's not talking about a verbal concept. He's not talking about someone who speaks poorly about himself or herself, not someone who is making sure you know that they're humble. You know, you hear people say things like, well, far be it from me, or I'm the last person that should ever, and then they go ahead and do the thing that should be far from them, or that they're the last person that should do. Or, you know, there are times where people want to make sure you know how humble they are, and that's not the idea. Here's the point. True humility will show itself in your speech and in your demeanor. But it's more than just that. Humility here, meekness here, is the idea of submission. Are you coming to the Word of God with a life that is marked by submission?
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.